It's Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for joining us. On a Sunday morning in February 2008, Wisconsin native Matt Monger Lynch was killed after being struck by a van during a bicycle race in Chicago. He was 29 years old. A chef, a cyclist, an outdoorsman, an adventurer, he left behind his parents, his brother, a wife, and family and friends across the globe. The pain of his loss was especially deep for his mother, Barbara Monger, which she heart-wrenchingly describes in her book, Riding Through Grief. But the book is also about how her family dealt with their loss by finding unique ways to honor Matt and his memory, not the least of which is the book itself. Indeed, readers will come to know who Matt really was through his mother's words. Yet Monger tells Lake Effect's Stephanie Lecce she never intended to write it.
I didn't decide to write a book. A friend of mine, Judy Bridges, was talking to me and asked me if I were going to write something about Matt, and I said, no, I really hadn't thought of it. And this was maybe 8 or 9 months after his death. And after she asked me that, I thought, well, maybe I will write something, not with the intent of publishing it, but just for my own sake. So I started writing, and I kept writing. And it was healing, and it was wonderful to remember these things about Matt that I had kind of forgotten, you know, incidents from his childhood and from his teenage years. And reviewing those memories was really meaningful and helpful to me. And I think it also helped me come to terms with the stark reality of his absence. And she then told me, and so did a couple of others who read what I had written, said that they thought it would be helpful for others to read about this, and that it might be healing and, you know, have some of the same benefits that it had for me when I wrote it.
Yet you emphasize this isn't a how-to book of how to get through your grief when you've experienced the loss. This is your personal experience.
That's right. And it's completely not a how-to-do-it book. And there are plenty of those. But this really isn't that at all. And I couldn't tell somebody how to do it. But this is really how I did it and how my family grieved. And I think reading about that might be of benefit to others who are experiencing grief and loss. So, I mean, if it helped just one person, I'm very happy that I went ahead and made it into a book.
Even though it's couched, obviously, in the process of your grief and in the aftermath of his loss, you really get a sense of who Matt was throughout the book. Tell us a little bit more about your son.
Well, he was a high-energy kid, and he was a high-energy adult. And I'm glad that that came through in the book. He was just a bright, shining light. And I think it says in the book something like when he walked into a room or burst into a room, you really noticed it. You noticed his energy. And I'm very glad that he found a career, which was cooking, after college, that he could put his creative energies into, and he did with full force. And I was really proud of him.
He also touched so many people. I mean, this wasn't someone who had a small group of friends. He had friends flung through all corners of the globe. Mm-hmm. Was that helpful to you when all of these people came together in the mm-hmm. aftermath of his death?
Yes, it was really helpful. And I don't think we could have gotten through it without that, because he had some great friends and some I hadn't met until then. And I then could see why they were his friends. And, you know, some of them had that same energy that he had, and not necessarily that they were cooks. He had a wide range of friends. And, you know, I really like that he made friends with lots of people, including the Dominicans who worked in some of the kitchens where he was doing the cooking.
Was that strange for you? You know, at one point in the book, you talk about how one of his friends said to you, you knew his whole life, whereas for many of his friends, it was just a part of his life. Mm-hmm. But was it strange for you, even after his death, to meet some of these people and learn about these parts of him that you maybe didn't know about?
Yeah, well, it was, some of it was surprising, and it was fun for me to know these stories. You know, of course, when a child leaves home, you don't know the full story. You get the sanitized versions. But I loved hearing the stories. You know, a number of them I've written down, and some of them came in letters from people that, you know, knew about his accident and wrote to me some memory of him. And so a couple of those are in the book, you know, some of the pretty special ones, and others were great but didn't come in time to be included in the book. And the friend who said that, it's Mary Stearns, I thought it was a wonderful comment. There was something so gratifying about it that I knew his whole life, but I didn't know some parts of it, which was good.
Good for a mother's heart to maybe not know.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Now, obviously, these memories were very helpful for you, it seems, in your process. But there was a point where you talked about just feeling cold, mm-hmm. almost numb. Mm-hmm. Talk about your process of grieving. We hear so much, like you said before, about how people grieve in general. But what was your experience?
Well, it's a terrible experience. And I think our society doesn't really recognize grief, and we don't talk about death. And so when it comes upon you, you know, you don't really have a way to deal with it, I think. So, well, one of the things that helped a lot was my husband and I walked a lot, and we walked and walked and walked. And I think that was really beneficial, the physical, you know, just engagement of putting one foot forward and then the next foot and keeping on going, which is kind of a metaphor for how you have to do it.
Another thing that seemed to help you and your husband, Bill, were these two phrases that you kept repeating to each other that became almost like a mantra.
Yeah,
for
it,
you
was.
Both.
It was because we would say these two sentences over and over again. I would always say to Bill, well, how are we going to do this? And he would say, we are doing it. And so I think, you know, Bill was really a rock in this situation, and he had to be the strong person for everyone, the rest of the family. You know, I think his grieving came later, but he was able to provide that sort of strength and stability and reassurance that we needed.
How did you both avoid going down those thought paths, the whys, the how could this happen? You talk at a certain point in the book about thinking about the driver who hit mm-hmm. Matt. How did you stop yourself from going down those roads?
Well, I think that the main thing that we did was think of positive things that we could do that would honor Matt. And that was a big help. And I don't know how we decided to do that, but one of the first of those, and this was not a happy occasion at all, but his bike team that he rode with called the Cutton Crew, a few weeks after the accident, organized a ride in Chicago from a park near Matt's house to the site of the accident. And friends came from all around, and the bike team arranged to have a ghost bike, which is a white painted bike that is a symbol of someone who's been killed in a bike accident. And it's a symbol used worldwide. There are several around Milwaukee that I've seen. That was attached to a little cart, and the fellow that used to ride with Matt led this procession, pulling the cart and the bike through the streets of Chicago to the scene of the accident, where we attached the bike to a kind of a bike rack with a sign with Matt's name on it. And there was something so symbolic and important about doing that. And from there we did some were rites and rituals that honored Matt and also that healed us at the same time. And one of those was on the anniversary of his death. We went out to Wyoming, where my son Luke lives, and because Matt had done some dog sledding in northern Minnesota and absolutely loved it, we decided on that day to do a dog sled ride up through this Hoback Canyon. And it was a wonderful experience, and I think that we kind of touched Matt's spirit.
There was one project that you worked on in memory of Matt in particular that you said mm-hmm. really had a cathartic effect on not only you, but on Luke, Matt's older brother.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Well, that was a shelter for hikers that we built along with volunteers from the surrounding area who are supporters of the scenic North Country Trail, which it's a wonderful trail that starts at the Adirondack Mountains and Lake Champlain in the state of New York and extends to North Dakota, to the plains. And it connects with the Missouri River and the historic Lewis and Clark Trail. And the parts that my family and I have hiked on are in the Upper Peninsula in Michigan. So we found this spot along with a great guy who organizes the North Country Trail volunteers in that area, which is Baraga County. And found this wonderful site on the Sturgeon River. And all of these volunteers and members of our family and friends participated in building this shelter. And it's open for any hikers to come in and spend the night or just to get away from the big mosquitoes during the day. It has four bunks, and this summer I'm going to go up there with copies of the book and put them in a metal box in the shelter so that people can either read the book there or take it with them as they go on their hike. So it was a place that Matt loved, and I think he'd love to go to this shelter. You know, my hope is that people would read this, people who are grieving, people who've lost a loved one, and say, well, hey, maybe I could do this in memory of this person, and to not end memorializing after the funeral or the service.
You describe several instances in the book where one of Matt's friends or a family member, one of your own friends, really reached out to you and your family, Matt's wife, Elizabeth, and came up with projects that really were about him, that kind of captured his spirit. Why were these instances, these attempts to reach out, helpful to you?
Well, it's so meaningful because I think most people are afraid to say something. They're afraid they're going to make you feel sad. Well, you already feel sad. You know, they're not going to make you feel any worse by anything that they would say. So, you know, I just valued people acknowledging what had happened and feeling comfortable enough to say something or to do something meaningful.
Eventually, you talk about how his older brother and his wife have a baby. Matt's wife has a child with her partner. People moving not on, but forward with their lives. Was there ever a point where you felt like you hadn't quite gotten to that point yet where you could really move forward?
Well, I think I have moved forward. I can be happy and I can have fun and participate in life. And, you know, I'm not sure I thought that was ever going to happen. And to see, you know, my son and his, now he has three children, it just makes me so happy that they're able to do that. And there's nothing like new life to, you know, just affirm the value of life and the meaning of life.
Is it a matter of finding ways each day to kind of bring Matt into that day?
Well, I think at first it was intentional. I had to, you know, I had to work at it. And I think now it's more spontaneous. I think of him every day, and various things remind me of him, looking at a plate of beautiful food or, you know, looking at the sun coming up and thinking of him paddling in a kayak across a body of water. I feel happy to have shared his life, and, you know, I feel at peace with it.
Barbara Munger, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about your son, Matt.
You're welcome.
Milwaukeean Barbara Munger is the award-winning author of Riding Through Grief, published by Point Comfort Press. It's now available as an ebook. Munger is also an artist and the author of Mary Knoll, Inside and Outside. You can find a link to the Remembering Matt website from ours, wuwm.com/lake effect. We'll take one last break, and then a local tennis school is working with young players on the mental aspects of the game. That's coming up next when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.